I've met so many mentors that have helped me with this and that. And anytime I need help with something, there's always someone that that the CAPS Network provided me with.
We have these eager minds that are just ready to take on new information and get those hands-on experiences and explore more.
Because it's something that is tangible. It's something you care about. It really, you can see how it's helping you.
All right. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Network, talking about profession-based learning and experiential learning in some different environments across the country and really across the globe. I'm Corey Moen. I'm your host, and so excited, extremely excited today to be joined by really the true customer of the model and the true customer of what we're trying to do with this podcast. And that's the end user. That's the student. And, you know, we talk a lot in our program, our network, CAPS Network, but also in the Blue Valley CAPS program, about this idea of going where students lead us. And that is so important and so critical that we start there and build from there. And so today I am extremely excited, as I mentioned, to be joined by three students that are all part of CAPS. What's really, really cool is these three that I'm sitting with all represent a different school district, a different CAPS program, a different part of one bigger metro area, which is our area here in Kansas City. And so today I am joined by Bella Cordero, who is a digital design student in Northland CAPS, which is up. She's actually from Liberty, Missouri, but north of the river here in the Kansas City area. We have Nate Shanker, who is part of our Blue Valley CAPS program down in Overland Park, Kansas, and Lilith View from Southland CAPS. So that, if you're familiar with Kansas City, that's kind of in and around Raytown, Missouri. Kind of the south and southeast part of the metro. And Lilith is an animal health student. Nate, who we just introduced, comes from a global business background, also took our Innovate class last year. So to all three of you, I would say welcome. And fun fact today, and this is just awesome because it's a microcosm of what we do with CAPS. Bella actually interns here. We are sitting right now at a radio station here in the Kansas City area called The Bridge, 90.9 FM, The Bridge. And she is actually an intern here at The Bridge. And we ended up walking into this amazing studio where we're recording this podcast today. And Bella is actually not only a guest on our show, she is producing this episode for us as we speak. How cool is that, Bella?
This is my first time getting to produce something on my own. So this has been really neat already.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it's exciting. It's exciting for us. I'm in awe that you are thinking about how you're going to answer questions while you're also keeping us all on track here.
Thank you.
This is like multitasking and all those professional skill sets that we talk about a lot. So that's really exciting. So I'd love to start by just letting each of you introduce yourself a little bit more. I gave a quick intro, but maybe tell us again kind of what class you're in. What does that mean exactly? The kinds of experiences you have in that class or that strand that you're focused in. And then anything about either the projects you're working on currently or have worked on or your placement, your internship placement. Because I know Bella and Lilith, both you are currently interns in organizations that are pretty well known here in Kansas City. So Bella, why don't you start? Tell us a little more.
So I'm a senior from Liberty High School, and I am part of the digital media and design strand of Northland CAPS, and I'm currently interning at KCPT in the Bridge Radio 90.9. And it's been such a neat experience for me because I originally came into Northland CAPS loving photography and thinking that was my whole life. So I was coming into this digital media class to explore photography more. My first semester, I started off with photos and the camera, and throughout different projects, I started falling in love with film. So then the rest of the semester, I was thinking, oh, video, film, this is what I love, this is what I want to do. So then I changed that, and then, which was funny, my second semester, I ended up going to a internship for audio to go work in radio. So it's been this really neat adventure of trying all these different strands that I had no idea about just a year ago from today, and seeing where I've ended up just through this whole entire process of Northland CAPS has been amazing. Definitely career exploration to help me kind of find what I'm hoping to do in the future. And I'm definitely finding it through just these past couple months.
That's wonderful. So interesting in your story, you stayed within kind of a strand area, mm-hmm. right, of this kind of media area. But it sounds like you already have had some pivots around different experiences that you've had. So you going from video and photography now to this audio side, is it that you're finding passion in any one of those places, or is it more that you're getting this broader exposure and you think that there may be something in each of those buckets for what you're going to do going forward?
Definitely both. It's been neat having the different hands-on projects instead of just sitting in a class working for doing a worksheet or a presentation. We were working for businesses and companies, and it puts a little bit more pressure, which almost gives more passion to what you are doing. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely found a love for each individual photography, film, and radio. But with the internship, I think it's definitely opened this path of finding a deeper passion in radio that I had no idea about prior to it. So the internship has been really great. About deepening, kind of finding out what I want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pressure to passion. You know, I feel like we've got a t-shirt in the making here. So, Nate, let me come over to you. Blue Valley, you've had a couple of different experiences, kind of a similar to Bella in the fact that you've been able to see things from some different lenses. So tell us a little more about the classes you've taken and maybe a couple of your experiences in your experience in Blue Valley.
Definitely. So I'm a second year student at Blue Valley CAPS, and my first year as a junior, I took the Innovate class, and so that class kind of walks you through creating a business from start to finish. So from start to doing a competitive matrix to making a go-to-market plan. So it's kind of cool to see creating a business from ground up. And then this year I'm doing global business, which you actually work with a physical company that's also a startup. So you kind of get to like go through their ups and downs and create a marketing plan for them and everything. But it's definitely cool to actually go and meet with them. So I meet off campus sometimes, and they also come to Blue Valley CAPS. And it's cool to have that relationship with the actual CEO of a company. So you can actually like learn from their experiences, and you can ask them questions that like interest you. And so one of the cool things is that in my global business class, the teacher asked us to state our passion. So mine was sports. So I got paired with a sports company called Team Cura. And so it was just kind of cool to, like, passion is brought up. Like, it's cool to see how passion, if you follow your passion, you can create a business out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just from knowing your experience being around Blue Valley CAPS, I know you've had a couple of different business ideas and business starts, if you will. One was a parking solution for college campuses, right? So to just explain maybe that one as an example of something that you created through CAPS.
So in my Innovate class with Mike Farmer, another thing is he wanted you to find your passion, which mine was sports, and then figure out a problem within that passion. So one of the problems I figured out was on college game days, there was a need for parking, and you'd see fraternities and sororities holding up parking signs saying $5 for parking. So my solution was creating an app that you could rent your parking lot out or your driveway, and people could pay days in advance to rent that spot out. And so in that class, I created a app and created a go-to-market plan and then presented it in front of potential investors, which was actually really cool.
Yeah. No, tremendous experience. And Mike Farmer, if any of you are in Kansas City, you may remember the name or know the name Mike Farmer, an Innovate teacher for us, but came from industry, came from a background of being an entrepreneur and founding companies. And so, oftentimes we find instructors in this model that have that experience either as teachers or as those that connect to our teachers in the model. Mm-hmm. So coming over to Lilith here, who has a really interesting and fun internship with the Kansas City Zoo. So talk a little more about the animal health class that you've taken and your internship and anything about kind of how that meets with your passion and purpose and interest.
Yeah, so I am a second year intern at the Kansas City Zoo. I kind of started out working in the commissary, which is where we make all the animals' food. I had a really big interest in diets, and I used to want to be a dietitian. Never really looked into the animal field before being in an animal health class, but it really struck my interest because I was very passionate about conservation work. So being a part of a place that contributes to conservation was really important to me. So I started out in commissary making diet prep for the animals, and I also worked in Stingray Bay, which is a interactive touch tank for a guest. They can touch stingrays and our bamboo sharks. And a little bit of what we do there is called interpretation. So you talk to your guests, tell them about the animals, but also different things about the zoo. It's where we really promote our conservation the most and make a connection with our guests. We are the people they interact with the most, because we're actually on the grounds. So that was really cool for me. It's a really good experience to have, and interpretation goes a long way. It's used at museums and other facilities like that. It's very, very good technique used around all zoos. San Diego Zoo is really a big pusher for that. So getting to learn those techniques is really good to me, and I also got certified in it, which is a big deal. So.
So certified, what was the certification?
I'm a certified interpretive guide.
Okay.
So I know all the different techniques sort of. And it's kind of combining a storyteller and guide in one. It's really interesting. But a lot of us do it without realizing that we're doing it.
So yeah.
Something really interesting to learn about because I had no idea about it. And then coming back this next school year, I in the education department, which kind of oversees all of our different programs. So our behind the scenes, taking tours in the outback area and such. Education controls Stingray Bay, the workers there. We do overnights. People pay to stay the night at the zoo and we'll give them tours. Boy Scout troops will do it. So we'll do educational activities during that. We do homeschool classes. So I get to kind of do lesson plans for it. And I teach K through second there.
So I'm getting a crazy idea of getting all the CAP students in Kansas City together for a sleepover at the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
would you be our guide for that?
Absolutely. We're used to having 60 people stay the night. That might be a little extreme.
I was going
to
say, Blue Valley, this semester, about 650 students. Northland, about 350.
I'd say Southland is
125, 100, somewhere in there, maybe?
Yeah.
We're approaching
students,
that.
Yeah. We're getting there.
So, yeah, we could have 1,000 students there.
So one in each building.
The CAP Zoo comes to life, yeah. Well, that's incredible. So certified, and how old are you?
I'm 18.
You're 18, and you've got a certification in something that you care about.
Yeah.
From a reputable, everyone knows the zoo here, right? Kansas City Zoo is very well known. So that's terrific. Appreciate all of you kind of letting our listeners hear a little bit about who you are. I do want to kind of get into some conversation about your experience as a student. A lot of times as we think about administering this program locally or building a network of these schools, which is what we're trying to do now, really globally, it always comes down to this thing that we call the student journey. And can we track, what is it that students need at certain points in time? And what is it that you want? A lot of times in schools, over time, historically, we try to drill into what we think you need, but we don't necessarily ask you what you want or the format in which you want it. So, kind of open floor here. Maybe Bella can start off here, but maybe talk a little bit about, what are the key traits or attributes of a positive experience that you've had? Now, some of this may be direct to CAPS and maybe other classrooms that you've been in, but you think about, you're about to exit K-12, right? You're about to graduate and move on from primary and secondary education. What are the key things that you think this is what has made me successful? This is what has made me, dare I say, happy, joyful, right? This was a positive learning experience for me.
Yeah. Out of the past 12 years of being a student, I can definitely say this year I have learned the most than I ever have, and I'm taking away the most knowledge that I've ever taken away.
So why is that?
And it's the way that it's taught. It's not a teacher to student type of class. It's an associate to an associate class. So again, like I was saying earlier with the pressure, it's a good amount of pressure where it's not too much and it's not the unhealthy pressure that you're getting sometimes in a typical classroom of these tests every single day and these quizzes and these piles of packets and books. It's a pressure because you're doing what you love and there's no 100% A, B, C, D. The grades aren't a typical traditional classroom grading system. Yeah. It's graded on how hard you work, because my teacher told us a great quote. He was talking about, if 100's the highest you can get, why do you stop there? And with CAPS, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to go past 100, because you're not trying to get the A. You're trying to impress the business you're working for, get the internship, do an amazing interview, and do the best you can at a project that you're given. So it's moving away from this traditional classroom setting of you're a student and you listen to your teacher and you sit down, and it's giving responsibility to the students to go out on their own. And it's okay to mess up, because that's how you learn. And you're doing it because you want to be there, is definitely what I've taken away. Everyone that is in this program, I've found, is here for a reason, because they wanted to do this. It's not just another class they have to take to graduate. They push themselves further than they could just to be out here and doing all these things that they're doing.
Yeah. So some element of choice, some element of
freedom, responsibility, and pressure all together.
Responsibility. Okay. So we're teasing out some of these traits. That's very good. How about the two of you? What would you add to this?
To add to it, I think like the biggest things about CAPS that I've enjoyed is that the businesses that you work with, the CEOs and the people that actually run the companies, they actually like want to mentor you and not just like grade you and give you a ton of assignments, like making a marketing plan, for example. They actually want to like teach you how to make it and walk you through each step and everything along the way, which I think was like super beneficial to me, at least.
So something I hear in what you just said is the process, learning the process and understanding the process may be as important or more important than the end product, meaning something that gets a grade.
Definitely.
Kind of that learning component. Right. And replicable potentially for your future. Mm. How about you, Lilith? What do you think?
Yeah, for me, I think the biggest thing is just having somebody trust you enough to go out on your own. A lot of it's from the school trusting the student to leave half the day and then actually show up to their internship. The trust from your supervisor that you'll get the work done, especially when you've been given a task that, you know, could really make a difference in the way things will go for the plan for that day. There's just a lot of trust from the school that I haven't ever really felt before as a student. It was kind of like, we give you these rules because we know you can't do it by yourself. But now it's kind of like, well, we know you can do this, and now you're showing us that you can and that other students can too. With Southland CAPS, we've been having new schools added to the districts, and I think it's really cool that our past schools have been able to show that this is something that really works. Students really will do what they're supposed to when they care about it. We really are responsible, and
I'm fascinated by this idea of rules somehow conveying a lack of trust. And so let me ask you maybe a more difficult question, which is, should educators, as we think about, and you all are high school age, so let's just kind of focus in on, because otherwise it's going to be too broad to think about. But let's think about a high school. Let's think about a high school environment, even at your, you know, the junior, senior level, right? Which is kind of where we have our CAP students. Are educators right to have some fear around releasing rules and control? Or is it completely unfounded? And if tomorrow we all flipped a switch and just said, complete trust, rules are gone, you guys are going to do what you're going to do, that everything would be okay? Because I think this is a very real, this is a real barrier right now in education, and maybe why we haven't seen this move faster.
It's definitely something that needs a transition. It's hard to go from rules to the next day, no rules. But switching over to CAPS, you see that difference of there's still rules set in line. Yeah. And there's kind of a boundary lined around you that you can walk up to. If you cross it, you do get consequences. There's things that, of course, you can't do, just the overall morals and rules.
Sure.
But it's not as tight of a box as you would find in school. For example, it's just the little things of not treating when I went into this program, I was worried of being looking down upon because I'm young, because I'm a high schooler, because I'm of my age. But instead, I found they treat us more of adults than when you're in a classroom. You are kind of talking down to by your teachers sometimes. And it's just an example of if you get a phone call from a business, you don't have to raise your hand before you can go out and take it. You can just go and take it. If you have an idea, you can bring it to the table with your mentor without kind of it always getting shut down. If you have an idea, for an example, we had a photo shoot I was doing with another associate, and our director encouraged it. Instead of, oh no, you need to stay in the classroom, he trusted us with the responsibility to go out safely, do this task, and come back and bring some creative content to the table.
Yeah, that's great. So another question that then leads me to is, I think a fear that people have inside of the education system is they may think that these open environments are successful because all the students in these open environments are of a certain background or a certain academic rigor. So maybe the better question to throw to you is, who are your classmates? How would you describe them? Is it a cross section of your high school? Is it a certain subset of your high school? Is it the high flyers? Is it the students that just didn't, you know, perform traditionally as well in the high school? Is it a mix of all this? Like, who are your classmates? Who are your peers?
Yeah. It's anyone and everyone. There are no prerequisites to joining CAPS, at least for Southland.
Yeah.
We have students from places that don't typically get a good name, like Ruskin. But a lot of those students are amazing and they have drive. And to give them that chance to be able to be a part of this is really amazing because it changes how they see school. A lot of students from my school who maybe wouldn't have grades to go to like Herndon are able to go to CAPS and they're really excelling. Their grades are going up. Their attendance is going up. I know with me, my attendance went up when I started going into CAPS because it's something that is tangible. It's something you care about. It really, you can see how it's helping you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and just to some of what you said there, Southland's geography and kind of the districts that feed it, very diverse, right? You mentioned Ruskin, Hickman Mills, you know, you've got kind of this South Kansas City, more of an urban environment. Yeah. You've got Ray Peck as like a more of a rural almost district. And then where you are in Raytown is more suburban, kind of interesting. So you're saying it's a mix across lots of different factors, academic, geographic, socioeconomic.
What do you think,
Nate, about Blue Valley?
To add to that, like at my table in my my CAPS class, like there's a kid who has a 36 on his ACT that's sitting on the right of me. And then we have a varsity football player on the left of me who didn't do as well as on the ACT. But we all like come together and have like this drive, like she said, to succeed in the class and actually like succeed in business. Which is just kind of cool, like the backgrounds of everyone in my class.
Interesting. What about Northland?
Yeah, jumping on what they were saying about there's no prerequisites to go into Northland CAPS. This was the first time, again, throughout high school that I was filling out an application that didn't ask you for your GPA, for your ACT score, for your grades. And that was so refreshing to finally go into a program where the higher scores and higher GPAs and ACT scores they weren't being looked at first. We were all on an equal playing field because that's where passion comes in. And the questions finally asked, what do you love to do? Why do you love to do this? And what is your passion? Which I think is much more important to the character of a person rather than the number that defines them currently with ACT scores. And so it definitely brought a mix to the table when it came to our class. Like he was saying, we have people with perfect ACT scores and people with not so much, just like me. And it drives you more because it's, again, you want to be there because you want to be there. And you're doing what you love instead of being stuck in a class that you're required to take that you struggle at a little bit more.
Yeah. So this leads me to a question. I didn't think we were going to kind of go this direction with the conversation, but I'm really, really curious now to ask this. There's a debate going on in the education community that's at a fever pitch right now around how valid scores like an ACT, an SAT, AP scores, how valid are they as predictors of success? Now and then there's two pieces to this, right? There's predictors of success in college and there's predictors of success in life. And I would love just a quick reaction from all of you. Like, what do you think? Are they fully valid? Are they kind of partially valid? Are they not valid at all? Like, what's your take on that as a measure? Because right now, still, most post-secondary institutions put a decent amount of weight on those things. Should they?
I'm starting to see more colleges as this debate is kind of coming up. More colleges each year are starting to switch to the ACT score being optional during application, which I think is definitely great when it comes to people that are going into STEM. It is more important if you do have a high ACT score. That's great for you. And you'll see that more in the schools that are looking for when it comes to kind of the Ivy Leagues. That's definitely something important. Yeah. But when it comes to, again, I'm an artist and I want to study art and I can't get into the school that I'm dreaming of because of my math score holding me back. Hmm. That's when I find that it doesn't define a student.
Yeah.
It does not reflect on your full intelligence because it's only asking you in these four categories of the science and the math and English rather than what you love to do. So I think it's definitely a hard topic because for some people, it is this great opportunity to show their full intelligence for students that perform really well in those areas of study. But for some students, it's vice versa, where it's reflecting poorly when they have this entire skill set of amazing other things about them that's not being shown.
Yeah. And to your point, I believe one of the universities that just recently made the ACT optional was UMKC
mm-hmm.
here locally, which made some news. In fact, it probably made national news. It was certainly in the news here in Kansas City. Any other thoughts, Lilith or Nate?
I kind of think of it as if you're going to look for individuals, why would you look at something created to see the whole? Oftentimes when I apply for things, it only asks score, GPA, and a very limited essay response where I don't really get to talk about my experiences. And if I'm just showing you my ACT score, how can I explain why I'm applying for your school and why I think I'm qualified when I can't explain why I think I'm qualified.
Yeah.
I think there really is a big, we need a more focused on looking at individuals and their experiences rather than test scores, especially when a lot of schools can't possibly all teach the same thing. There's just no way that we can communicate that with each other to get perfect ACT scores. And I don't know why we would want to reach that standard when our experiences are really going to be what's more important.
So I love that. And something you said there, I never thought about it this way, but what you're essentially saying, what I heard is why would you as an organization trying to connect to a student or to an individual not come up with a different way to figure out if that person was the right fit for your organization? Mm-hmm. You're trusting ACT to tell you that this score means you're a good fit for my organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's a great question. Maybe we should have ACT on the podcast. Elisa Morris, who's our regular producer, is over here in the room, although she got booted from her job by our Northland student to produce the episode today. But I'm looking over at Elisa thinking, well, maybe we should get ACT on and have a more of a heated discussion about this. But no, great point. Nate, anything to add?
Yeah. I mean, my personal opinion is I think if like businesses look at your college experience and what you've done, I feel like colleges should do that from the jump to high school to college. So instead of looking at your ACT, they should look at your experiences. If you've had an internship or your actual social skills in the internship, do you shake their hand? Do you look them in the eye? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like, should do that for colleges too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. All valid points. I think you all are hitting on the head. There's one topic I definitely want to get to before we run out of time today. And that is because we have a lot of teachers, a lot of instructors that listen to the podcast. Many of them are already inside of a CAPS program. Maybe they're new and they're just getting started. Some of them have been doing this for a while. But as you know, probably from your own experience, the instructors that you probably think, man, this has been a great match for me, they're the ones that are always trying to learn and do something new and different, right? So they're constantly trying to grow and develop. I would love for you to just spend a couple of minutes each talking about what is it that makes for a really great instructor. And you can think about, the CAPS model, more broadly, if someone's listening that's not part of CAPS, profession-based learning or this experiential learning. But in the kind of environments that you all are in right now with your CAPS programs, what are the things that make a teacher, an instructor, what makes them successful in your eyes?
To me, I find the most successful teachers or directors that I've had throughout classes have been the ones that speak to you on the same level, human to human, okay. instead of adult to teen, teacher to student. It gives you more, you feel more welcomed in the class. You feel more comfortable because you don't feel like you are at a lower level, because if you're taking a class you've never taken before and they have studied this topic for years and they've gone to college, of course they're going to be at a higher level, which can be intimidating. But putting everyone on that same level and not separating themselves from the students is very important, as well as giving a little bit of freedom. There are, of course, going to be those kids that do fall off the path when you kind of loosen the reins. But then there's going to be also the students that flourish and thrive because they just needed that extra room to breathe and to show what they can do when you loosen up the restrictions.
Okay. Wonderful. So loosen the restrictions a bit. Mm-hmm. And, reiterate, summarize for me your first point again.
Because
you said it so well.
Not dividing your class very, you're the teacher, they're yeah. the students. Being on the same level, get yeah. down to what they see and help them see what you're seeing as well. So everyone yeah. can be kind of together.
Yeah. And the term that you use, which I love, is human to human. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. Nate, how about you?
I think the mentorship goes like hand in hand with this, is like, if I rather like have a teacher that can like actually wants to like make myself succeed and wants to learn more about my life and what I'm majoring in and what jobs I'm looking at, compared to a teacher that just hands out a worksheet and just grades your stuff and doesn't talk to you. So like my favorite teachers like actually know about me rather than teachers that I don't necessarily like talk to like all the time. They know nothing about me and not a big fan of that, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, teachers that actually like talk to the students one-on-one and not just in a group setting, I think, are the best teachers.
Get to know your students, everyone.
Yes, those connections are really important. And they're important for when your student is making connections with other people, seeing how you do that. One thing I really appreciated about my teacher was how attentive to detail she was about her students. She listened to their interests. She would have meetings with them to talk about their interests and finding internships that would work for them. And being like, oh, maybe this one wouldn't work for you because you're more interested in this. And really just being a guide with what we like and our interests in listening and knowing that we are welcome to share what we want to do. Because I know some people are kind of embarrassed about it or feel like it wouldn't be possible for them. A lot of kids are like, oh, I can never be a vet. And she shows, well, you could. And that's something I really appreciate, is just believing in your students.
Yeah. So relationships matter. And yeah, help your students believe in themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just reviewing a book that I read months ago. It was a guy that used to coach executives at Google and some other big tech companies. He's since passed away. He actually was a former football coach. And one of the things that he said, or that people would reflect on about him as a coach, and oftentimes we talk about our teachers as coaches, and that's something that we value, the idea of a coach or a facilitator, as the way we talk about a CAPS instructor. But people talked about him in reflection in this book and said that he often found ways to believe in people when they didn't believe in themselves, that they could accomplish certain things, and that led up to a path where people could actually open up, individuals could open up and see themselves doing things that they previously didn't think they could do. And so I absolutely love that. That's how we're going to make big things happen. And speaking of big things, I'd love to kind of close out with you all today by throwing out something we talk about on all of our podcast episodes, is this idea of everyone has some kind of a moonshot idea. You know, what's something that we could just throw out that may be 5-10 years away, something that maybe no one thinks it could be accomplished, but if we were able to wave a magic wand and just say it is so, it's like our paradise, right? It's like, we did something really amazing. We did something big and exciting and more than just a process improvement. We did something that was legendary, right? Something huge. And so as you think about your experience as a student, and I'd love to hear as part of your answer, maybe where you think you're headed next. What is something that you just would love to see happen that isn't happening currently that we can all strive to go ahead and accomplish? We need to know what it is before we can actually make it happen, right? So maybe we can name it here, what our big opportunity is. So Bella, why don't we start with you?
I think what I would hope to see in a couple of years from now is more internships for the youth. I'm so thankful for this opportunity because I know there are still a lot of people that are in high school that don't have this opportunity to get an internship, let alone until their later years of college. And that's something that's been one of the biggest parts from Northland CAPS that I've taken away is this internship has been such an incredible experience. So opening that door to more students and more businesses and companies being comfortable with mentoring and taking on young students, because instead of looking at our age, we have these eager minds that are just ready to take on new information and get those hands-on experiences and explore more. Because you really, unless you're going into these different things and testing it out, you don't know what you want to do if you're just sitting in a class hearing about the book definition of these different jobs. So I would hope to see more internship opportunities for students in the future.
Great. And where should we expect to see you next? After your internship here, after graduation?
After I graduate, I am staying local in Kansas City. I'm going to attend UMKC to study film and media and hopefully pursue a career in either post-production editing or radio production as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Nate, how about you? What's our big idea?
Kind of go with that. I just want to see more CAPS around the U.S. Like, I feel like that's like the biggest thing is when I know that other students don't have this opportunity like us, I feel like that is just huge. Like, I've met so many mentors that have helped me with this and that. And anytime I need help with something, there's always someone that that the CAPS network provided me with that actually like helps me succeed and wants me to succeed. So yeah, just more CAPS around the whole U.S.
Okay. We may have to hire Nate as a PR lead for CAPS Network. Not going to get any arguments out of me. Lilith, how about you?
Seeing more opportunities for lower class areas, coming from Raytown and growing up more, not financially well off. Yeah. Those opportunities.
Lower to middle class, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even areas that are even lower than that.
Okay.
Around us that attend Southland CAPS, I want to see more schools get those opportunities. Less people giving up on those kind of schools in those areas and the students. A lot of the students tend to have like lower testing scores there. Maybe they act out more or something, but what can we do to help ignite that passion in them and look at what they really care about, what they really want to do, so that way we can help them get there. Yeah. That they're not just poor kids, that they have the same opportunities as everyone else, that they can have the same opportunities.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And something that we know, and I hope that everyone out there comes to this realization if they haven't yet already, compliance and conformity are not the same thing as achievement and ability to achieve, right? There are many reasons why someone may not comply with, you know, hey, this is how we're going to do it today. And they act up or they don't do it exactly the way that an instructor wants. It doesn't necessarily mean that student isn't capable of amazing things. It's just the wrong environment for them, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or there could be something going on in their life, you know, previous. So now I want to hear, because I didn't get this out of your answers, Nate and Lilith, what's next for you? Where should we expect to see you?
I'm going to be attending University of Kansas and majoring in business administration with a focus in entrepreneurship.
Are we going to see some more business launches
definitely.
Out of you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that. Lilith, how about you?
I am going out of state. I'm going to University of Wisconsin Parkside to study psychology with a focus on animal behavior. And I'm hoping to intern at local zoos around that area.
Wonderful. So where is that in the state of Wisconsin?
It's in Kenosha. So okay. It's about 45 minutes from Milwaukee.
Okay. So fun fact, we have 4 CAPS Network programs in and around Milwaukee. So maybe when you get up there, we can make you kind of a mentor for some of the programs that are already there.
Yes. Future CAPS teacher.
Oh, and Elisa goes crazy in the background, pumping her fists. That's terrific. Well, Bella and Nate and Lilith, thank you so much for taking the time. Bella, you get a second thank you for producing the podcast episode.
<Thank you. laughs>
Never a dull moment in the life of a CAPS student, but it's been a great pleasure to visit with you and get your intake and your ideas. These are things that are going to help us pave the path for the future. It all starts with our students, and you all have been great representatives of those students from across the metro and across the country. So thank you so much. And with that, our friends, we have wrapped up another great episode of The Network. It's been a great pleasure being with you. And we are excited to continue this work, more moonshots to come, and keep on working and doing what you can, because we know the tipping point is near and you are all part of the solution. Thanks.